Wow, thank you, Brother Mark, so much for that great song. I have always loved that song. What powerful lyrics, amen. Wonderful words. And I certainly hope the words to that song speak of your heart tonight as well. I hope that you come to worship this evening with a heart that it is hungry for God. And it's not about who's in the pulpit tonight. It's not about the personalities on the platform. We gather here this evening to make much of Jesus Christ and to gather around Him and to applaud Him in His majesty and glory. Oh, what a great God we serve. Amen. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for making Wednesday nights a priority. And you folks are such a blessing to me, and I'm so glad you're here. If you have your Bible, please open it with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we'll be looking together at verses 15 to 17. And as you're turning there, I want to make mention to you that not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, the 26th, we're having movie night here at the church at 5 o'clock, and we'll be viewing a Billy Graham movie, The Next Flight Out, I believe is the title of the movie. But it's a wonderful movie based on a true story, but it's a tremendous evangelistic tool, and we would love for you to come and bring your family and friends with you to be part of that, and we want to get the gospel out to people. And so please make your plans to be here. It'll be a fun night together as we fellowship, but as we view the movie, let's pray for God to speak into the hearts and lives of people. Well, I love this season of the year, don't you? I love the season where the leaves are changing and the temperatures begin to fall a little bit, and as we begin to move into the holiday season. You know, Thanksgiving is perhaps my favorite season of the year because it forces us to stop and to consider the blessings of the year. You know, we consider what the Lord has done for us and our families and for our nation. You know, we're truly blessed, are we not? And the Bible has a whole lot to say about Thanksgiving. And I want to read this passage of Scripture to you this evening from Colossians chapter 3. Our text says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." Underscore that. "Let the word of Christ dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with" what? "Thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." So in our text this evening, three times Paul underscores this most essential practice of giving thanks. You know, if we're truly honest with ourselves, all of us are prone to be ungrateful, are we not? You know, it's not hard to be a grouch. It's not hard to wake up, you know, on a weekday morning, and especially Monday morning, and not be in the best of moods. But the Bible commands us to be thankful because gratitude is necessary for us to be right with God. So having a grateful heart is a command and not merely a suggestion. So God wants us to have grateful hearts. Grateful hearts. Thanksgiving should be a lifestyle and not just a holiday. In fact, for you and me, we should call every day thanks living. Amen? Every day we should give thanks. So Thanksgiving would be a lot easier for all of us to remember if we only knew just how blessed we truly are. And even when circumstances aren't going our way, like for me this morning, my morning did not start well. I was about to sit down in my den with my big mug of coffee to start my devotion time, and I just sat down good, put my coffee mug on the table next to me, And I didn't place it properly on the table. It was just kind of tilting a little bit on the edge of the table, and it turned over. And all of a sudden, I had coffee all in my lap, all over my sofa, all over the floor, all over the table. It was a huge mess. It's funny how a mug of coffee can turn into 10 gallons of coffee in just a matter of seconds. But it was everywhere. But you know what? I had to look back in that and be thankful for the fact that that mug wasn't any bigger than it was. And I also had to be thankful that Denise was not there to laugh at me. So there is always the bright side of every difficulty. But tonight I want us to look at this matter of thanksgiving. And I want us to look first tonight at the problem with ingratitude. The problem with ingratitude. According to the Word of God, one of the evidences of the end times is this matter of ingratitude. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents," watch this, "ungrateful and unholy." So ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, we've all, to one degree or another, struggled with all of these things. But here Paul said these things will be especially prevalent in the last days. So this tells me that as believers, we should be especially aware of all these negative characteristics of the human heart. And these things should never be true of you and me. So how does a lack of gratitude become a problem? Well, it's not like we wake up on any given morning and decide, well, you know what, I'm going to be a grouch today. I think what happens is we allow slowly these joy killers to come into our lives. And so tonight I want to highlight a few joy killers with you. The first one would be forgetfulness or neglect. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget what? None of his benefits." So listen, we are told not to forget his benefits. We are not to forget his benefits. Well, what benefits is he speaking of here? Well, King David eloquently details several divine benefits in verses 3 through 5. He says, "Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things." Wow, what a resume, right? Look how good God is to us. He provides all of these things for us. And many of you could stand up tonight and testify of what the Lord has done for you. He's brought healing to your life. He has rescued you from the pit. He has demonstrated his loving kindness in your life. And tonight you can testify of that wonderful truth. But here's what happens many times to a lot of us. We lose the joy of our salvation. We take our eyes off of Jesus and we start looking at life circumstances, the hardships and difficulties, and all of a sudden, all of the benefits that we have been recipients of are long forgotten. So to ignore or to forget such benefits from the Lord is really a terrible offense to God. So while forgetfulness is not considered rebellion per se, it does speak of a heart that is ungrateful for God's blessing. So listen, friends, listen. Never forget what the Lord has done for you. And at this Thanksgiving season, we all should stop and seriously ponder the previous year and what the Lord has done for you and for your family, your neighbors, and friends, your church, for your country. We ought to stop and give God thanks. So forgetfulness is the first joy killer, but the second, I would say, is selfishness or pride. In 2 Chronicles 32, we find the account of Hezekiah, who was the king of Judah. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah cried out to heaven on behalf of Judah, who was under siege by Sennacherib and this Assyrian army. And so God sent an angel. You may remember the story. God sent an angel and he routed the entire Assyrian army. But Hezekiah never gave God credit. But instead, the people applauded Hezekiah. They gave him gifts and he gladly received them. But verse 24 says, immediately afterward, Hezekiah became deathly ill and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. Now in verse 25 of 2 Chronicles 32, it says, but Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received because his heart, watch this, was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him and on Judah and on Jerusalem. So did you catch that? Hezekiah did not respond to the kindness of God. You know why? Because he was too proud to say thank you to the God who spared his life and spared his nation. And as a result, he incurred the wrath of God because of his foolish pride and selfishness. So if anything, I believe this text should awaken every prideful and ungrateful believer. Stop and consider what the Lord has done for you and give him praise, give him glory, give him thanks for what he's done. A third joy killer I would suggest tonight is bitterness. Bitterness or murmuring or grumbling. You know, a final step in a lack of gratitude is this matter of murmuring. You know, friends, when we murmur, we fail to recognize how truly blessed we are. And listen, friends, God knows when we're murmuring. We may be all alone in our bedroom and we're thinking no one is hearing us, oh, friends, but God's hearing it. He hears every word. The children of Israel murmured against the Lord and against Moses in the wilderness many times. And as you know, God judged them for doing so. Murmuring is intrinsically evil because it's unfair. The tongue of the murmurer states as being true things which are manifestly false. You know, we're prone to look at the problems we have and not appreciate the ones we don't have. Isn't that true? We're so focused on what's wrong instead of rejoicing in how God has delivered us from other hardships. You know, thanking God for what has not happened to us is just as important as thanking God for the good things we have come our way. So ingratitude is sin. It's sin. Now look with me secondly tonight at the seriousness of ingratitude. The seriousness of ingratitude. You know, it's easy to dismiss this matter of ingratitude. We kind of chalk it off as a secondary sin because, I mean, after all, we haven't hurt anybody. We haven't, you know, brought any trouble on anyone. But murmuring and belly aching are a part of everyday life for many of us. You know, as followers of Jesus, we must take this matter seriously because the Lord takes it seriously. He listens to our conversations. He hears the conversations that are even taking place in our own heart. So let's identify ways ingratitude creates problems for us and others. Well, first of all, I suggest to you, it brings physical problems. It brings physical problems. Ingratitude can create physical problems in the lives of people. You know, medical researchers are learning more every day about the dangers of stress and depression. You know, the data shows that stress and despondency lead to psychological problems. It also leads to disease and perhaps even an early death. But listen, God knew this all along. He knew the dangers of of an ungrateful heart and the ramifications it would have upon our health. You know, Proverbs 17 verse 22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." So listen, according to medical research, cheerful people resist disease better than the gloomy ones. You find a person who is happy, you find a person who rejoices in their blessings, you'll find a person who is experiencing better health. So there is the physical problem for unthankful people, but notice also the social problems. Social problems. You know, attitudes are more contagious than the common cold, wouldn't you say? Everybody's got an attitude. It's just, you got to determine whether it's a good one or a bad one. You know, COVID has nothing on attitude. Have you ever noticed that when someone is negative around you, it causes you to become negative? Isn't that true? You know, one person can change the dynamic of an entire room full of people. Just one. Because they bring with them a negative attitude. You know, I've been around some people and it's like they have this black cloud over their heads all the time. And so this is why the Bible admonishes us as believers to speak wholesome and praiseworthy things to each other. Ephesians 5 verses 19 and 20 says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You know, I love to be around people who are filled with the joy of the Lord, don't you? Some people are just fire lighters. I mean, they are just such refreshing people. You know, you may be in the middle of a very serious issue, and maybe there's some tension in the air, but along comes this third party, and they walk into the room, and by their very presence, things just seem better. Have you ever experienced that before? Well, you know what, friends? That's what you and I are called to be. We're called to be the firelighter. We're called to be the one that lights up the room and brings joy to the hearts of everyone present. So listen, our attitudes as Christians can be a positive witness for Christ, or it can be a powerful tool for the enemy. But you know, ingratitude can have negative social ramifications. But thirdly, ingratitude reveals the truth of your spiritual life. In Daniel chapter 6, we read about a group of men who sought to trap Daniel by having King Darius sign a document placing an injunction on prayer, forbidding anyone to pray to any other god besides Darius. Well, the penalty for doing so, as you may remember, was the death penalty. They were to be thrown into a lion's den. And so the king was so flattered by the document that he foolishly agreed to it and signed it. And so these same men went looking for Daniel, hoping to catch him in the actual act of praying to his God. And so they found what they were looking for. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 says this, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed," watch this, "he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously." You know, Daniel was in a tough spot. I mean, he could have very easily caved in to the demands of the edict and lived in misery knowing that he was being disobedient to the Lord his God. He could have chosen to go into deep depression over his circumstances, but he didn't. Daniel rather chose to trust in God. Daniel chose to thank God for his blessings, even if it cost him his very life. So Daniel chose to worship. Daniel chose to pledge his allegiance to the God of heaven and not a mere king here on earth. So Daniel shows us that it's not your circumstances that control your gratitude, but your gratitude that controls your circumstances. So no wonder Daniel was such a spiritual giant. But listen, if Daniel did not have a grateful heart, this story would have ended very differently. Daniel was a great man because of his love and devotion to God first. But fourthly tonight, I want to say to you that gratitude must be viewed in light of the eternal. I want us to consider the eternal ramifications of ingratitude. In Psalm 69, verses 30 and 32, the text says, I will praise the name of God with song and exalt him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or bull with horns and hoofs. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. So do you see what this passage says? It tells us that glorifying God through thanksgiving can speak to those who need the Lord and can help bring them to saving faith in Christ. So the absence of gratitude, the absence of thanksgiving does the very opposite. In fact, giving thanks to God and bearing a witness to the lost go hand in hand. Psalm 105 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. So listen, we are to make known his deeds. We are to tell people of what Christ has done for us. We're to tell others of his great salvation. How can we do that if our mouths are filled with gripes and complaints and bellyaches? You know, gratitude in the life of a believer can be the best evangelistic tool there is. There's power in a thankful heart. Lastly tonight, I'd like for us to consider the solution for ingratitude. The solution for ingratitude. And first of all, I would say that the initial step is repentance. We need to repent. You know, the first thing we have to do in order to truly live in gratitude is to repent of our lack of thankfulness. And so what that means is the murmuring, the complaining, the negativism, the belly aching, all that has to stop. It's got to stop. Stop and think back over the last week. Now think with me for just a moment. How often have you found yourself complaining compared to the number of times you have actually thanked God for his blessings? Right? You know, it's easy to complain. But friends, it's a discipline to give thanks in all things. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's important that we choose to turn away from an ungrateful heart and choose to have a heart filled with thanksgiving. So repent. But secondly is return. Return. In Psalm 100 verse 4, we're told to come into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. So return to the Lord with praise and gratitude. You've turned away from your sin of ingratitude. Now turn to the Lord and give him praise and thanks for his forgiveness and cleansing. And ask him to put a song on your heart. Friends, there's nothing more beautiful than a believer that's got a song on their heart. You may think, well, Brother Richard, I'm not much of a singer. Well, I'm not either. But listen, friends, there comes a point in time when, man, I can't help but sing. I'm glad you're not around to hear it, but I like to sing. On my way from U Harley to the church every morning, I like to sing. I like to worship the Lord for what He's done for me, to give Him praise for His provisions for me and my family, to give Him praise for this church and for the work that's being carried on here each and every day, and to praise Him for His work that He's accomplishing around the world. That's how you start your day, is giving praise to the Lord and His goodness. So we return to Him. But thirdly, we must remember. Remember His blessings. In Psalm 77, verse 11, it says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. And friends, that's what we need to do each and every day, is reflect upon what God has done for you and for me. You know, remembering God's blessings will fill your heart with gratitude. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is good. God is good. The world in which we live is flawed and broken and all messed up. But that's not God's fault. It's our fault. But God is good. Don't ever lose sight of the goodness of God. And friends, in every circumstance, whether good or bad, give praise to God. I was in a hospital room yesterday afternoon visiting a woman that is soon to be leaving this world. When I walked into her room, she immediately began to cry. I had led her to Christ back early part of this year after we built a wheelchair ramp for her. So yesterday when I walked into her room and she saw me, she immediately began to weep. And she said, Brother Richard, I'm going home. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, well, that's good news. You're going home. She said, No. Richard, I'm going home. I'm going home. She began to praise the Lord for His goodness to her. She began to praise the Lord for His provisions for her all these years and for all the people who loved on her and helped her. She was so thankful for her family, and she began to call upon the Lord and say, oh Lord, I'm so ready to come home. I want to see mama. I want to see my daddy. I want to see my brother. I want to see my friends who have gone before me. Lord, thank you so much for being so good to me. I tell you what, friends, I had church in that hospital room yesterday. There was a woman that had a right perspective, even to the point of death itself. Friends, never forget what the Lord has done for you. Last week I read about a short-term mission volunteer named Jack Hinton. He and his team went to a leper colony to share the gospel with the people there. And Hinton was responsible for leading the music for the worship service with those people. So he asks the lepers to request their favorite songs. And the time comes for one last song, and one woman whose back had been toward the pulpit turns around to face Hinton, the music leader. And he said later, I saw the most hideous face I have ever seen. He said the woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. Her lips had almost rotted off of her face. And she lifted a fingerless hand in the air and asked, can we sing Count Your Many Blessings? Hinton was overcome with emotion, and he left the service. Later, another volunteer followed him to console him, and he said, Jack, I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again, will you? Hinton replied, oh, yes, I will, but I'll never sing it the same way again. Friends, as we close tonight, allow me to share the last stanza of that same hymn that goes this way. So amid the conflict, whether great or small. Do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. And may our lives be characterized by thanks living today and every day in the future. On behalf of our pastor and staff, and behalf of my family, I want to wish all of you a happy, prosperous Thanksgiving season. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this matter we call Thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that it will be more than just a holiday, but it will be a daily practice. Lord, you're so good. You are incredibly faithful, Lord. Forgive us when we murmur and we complain. Lord, we are often so short-sighted. But you, O Lord, you are good and you are faithful. And tonight we just want to stop and thank you for being so good. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your benefits that we read about earlier. Many of us could stand up tonight and just share testimony after testimony of how you have worked in our lives. And God, we just want to give you thanks. Now, Lord, as we dismiss from this place tonight, I pray that our lives will be filled with joy and our mouths will be filled with your praises. Lord, may we be quick to share with others of the goodness of God and what you've done for us. Dismiss us with your favor, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.